Wishes to all the brothers and the sisters. The voice could have waited one more day. It has holiday from tomorrow till Friday. But it took holiday even today. I am not willing to give holiday to it. Therefore, this effort to conclude this session with a voice which carries 7 voices in it. Feel it as a musical tone with all the 7 sounds coming out of it. It's easy to say, I'm sorry. But it is not in my way of doing things. I would like to exert to the last of my breath to fulfill whatever is entrusted to me. I cannot say no. Though very well-meaning my brothers and sisters, they came to me after the fire ritual and said, please, let us conclude the session. And you don't have to talk. I said, let me try. We should always keep trying until such time that we find the right note to conclude. That's why I have taken the decision to conclude this talk. As long as it takes, but we conclude what has been commenced on Friday evening. I have been speaking to you about the importance of pranayama, which we all have to get in one day or the other. Earlier the better. If we can do it earlier, it is better because it enables us to contact the soul as personalities. We all live as personalities and we need to contact the soul. The soul has the advantage of transmitting the will of God, the knowledge of God, and the ability to act in tune with the plan. Therefore, from ancient most times, alignment of personality with the soul, either through prayers or through what we call meditation, is given a lot of importance. As I told you in 2 classes, application of our mind upon respiration enables joining of the principle of awareness with the principle of life. The pulsating principle of life is one stream that runs the whole system, which I explained to you as the cardinal science. The cardinal science, namely Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, they are basically responsible for maintaining the life principle. We join the awareness principle with the life principle when we think of associating the mind with respiration. When mind joins respiration, slowly with the help of inhalation and exhalation, it finds the principle of pulsation, which is an eternal happening in the heart center. It's an eternal happening in the heart with which we associate. The heart always trumpets, here I am, here I am, here I am. That's how it is said in Sanskrit. It is called Hridayam. Heart is called in Sanskrit Hrithayam, meaning here I am. So you meet the center of I am in you which relates to the source from which the I am has reflected itself. In the heart, there is the reflected image of the God, while the God as such exists at the top of the head. So when we contact the pulsating principle, we very clearly, naturally, effortlessly listen to the sound of Soham as the centripetal and centrifugal sounds as they happen in us. Associating with it is most important. To associate with it, though informed, cannot be done unless the karma is cleared. The karma can be cleared by active engagement into life activity with an attitude of service. The ancient theologies did not promote service as a separate activity. The ancient theologies, they never promoted service as a separate activity. Anything that you do, you need to see what does it mean to others and make sure that enough benefit is passed on to others. That's it. That is it. The very work includes service. To do service separately for once in a week, once in a month, is a fallacy. It doesn't really help. Because the rest of the time you work for yourself. Throughout the week you work for yourself, and once in a week you do some service. It's only a kind of self-deceit that happens. Anything and everything that we do, there is a benefit intended for others in it. Orient to that benefit which is there in every act of yourself. In that, service is already rendered. That's how life as work as offering. Life as offering happens right from morning till night. When you take care of your body, body is not yours, it is given to you. It is given by the divine to us, and therefore we work for the body as an offering. Even our offering food is an offering to the devas in the body. Offering shower to the body is also offering to the devas of the body. The human body contains in it almost all intelligences. Taking bath as an offering, drinking water as an offering, taking food as an offering to the devas, likewise working in the society as an offering, this should be the attitude. Then all work becomes service. You don't see this in the books. Books speak, off late books speak of service. And people think that if they do some part-time service, they are already delivered, but it is not like that. I'll give you an example. You take the tail of a dog, it's always in a curve, it's never straight, isn't it? See, every day or every week for about half day, you bandage it, and later leave it. Then the tail of the dog once again takes to its old shape, isn't it? But if it is always bandaged for years to come, when the tail is always bandaged for years to come, then you remove the bandage, even if you want to bend it, you cannot bend it. It becomes so straight. Imagine the tail of a dog being so very straight, like a straight line. Because by continuous orientation to a banded straight, the dog's tail has become straight. It's the case with us when we do some bandage when there is a breakage of bones. 2-3 months when you are with the bandage, then the joint is so stiff, it takes time for you again to get back the flexibility of the joint, isn't it? That is because there is a bandage forever, continuously. Like that, our work, whatever you do, please note this, whatever you do, don't think what it is for you, never. If you think what it is for you, you are a beggar. You are a beggar, according to scriptures. In anything that we do, if we say what it is for me, I am a beggar. What it is for others, if you see that, you are a king, you are the giver. You are the giver. So every act has this dimension. So like that, you have to transform the entire daily activity into an activity of offering. Only then you can do pranayama. Just because you know pranayama, you cannot do it. Apply your mind upon respiration, blah, 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 blah. I have been talking from 1995, January, in Vishakhapatnam Guru Pujas, from that day when I gave the story of Garuda, the great bird. I went on speaking about how to work with respiration. And many times it is repeated, but still it cannot be done for the simple reason your karma does not let you do it. That's it. The karma lets you do it, provided all that you do from the time you wake up till the time you sleep, all that you do, let it be an offering. Don't think you are eating chocolate. Eating chocolate for you is what is called pilfering this chocolate. Offering the chocolate to the devas of nourishment in you, who receive it into its stomach, transform into energy and give it back. Such an offering is what is described in scriptures. Right from food, drink, any activity that we do. Suppose you are running a taxi service. You drop people wherever they are to be dropped. That's it. What they pay to you, it's up to them. That is the dimension of a true student of yoga. If I have done my profession, whatever is to be done to the client, in tune with the law, is completely done. I never cared what they pay me. Never. I said, when they say, what is it that we should pay you? I say, it's your choice. You may pay, you may not pay. And whatever you pay, that as it comes to you, you can pay. That is the kind of what you call the abundance of confidence in you that you have done what is to be done to others. What is due to you is taken care of elsewhere. That is what Master CVV meant. Anything you do, let not your hand be like this. Let it be like this. By that, the nature takes care of you. The nature. That was how the physicians were behaving before. That was how the teachers were behaving before. That was how Master M.M., he conducted his entire profession of advocate, a legal expert. He went on giving advice to the clients, whatever they intend to give. They said, there is a coat over there, an overcoat. There is a pocket in it. You can place whatever you wish and go. He never even looked at it. He never even looked at how much is paid. And if the family members or some others, when they want some money from him, he says, it is over there in the pocket of the coat. You take whatever is needed. Like that he went on. To him, his coat pocket itself worked as a bank account. Those who gave, it went into it. Those who wanted, they took it away from it. All this happened in the last century. He demonstrated, you are not poor either by disposition or by economic status. You are never poor if you have this attitude. Because the nature has a different dimension. Nature opens its resources to people who mean welfare of others. Who mean welfare of others. That's how so many activities can be carried out by a single person. Varieties of activities of charity, so many things can happen through one person. One man can be an institution, provided he sets himself to this dimension of service. As an attitude, as part of every work. You go and you eat in the house of a person, you are invited. You go there and you are offered food. You know what should be the attitude of the person who, in whose house we are eating. As you step into the house, you should think that this family should be prosperous for next 3 generations to come. That should be the attitude. Not just eating away because you are invited. This family, may this family be prosperous for 3 generations to come, for they have invited me to take food in their house. That should be the attitude. See, at thought plane, at emotional plane, at physical plane, everything has to change in you to take to an attitude of service, by which all work becomes service and there is no separate part-time services. That is how Patanjali Yoga speaks. That is how Bhagavata Purana speaks. That is how Bhagavad Gita speaks about service. Once it so happened, when I happened to be in north of India, a person came to me and asked me, in our theology, there is no such thing as imposition of a mandate about service. See, normally, in every theology, a portion of their income is apportioned to the benefit of the society, say 15%, 10%. They keep on giving. People give every Sunday in the church. And people give in the mass 15%. Like that, they keep on giving. How is it that in the ancient wisdom system, there is no such prescription? There is no prescription. Then I opened Bhagavad Gita and showed it to him. The whole life is meant to be service. The whole life is meant to be service, not 15% service or 10% service. That is the key to neutralize karma. If you wish to neutralize your karma, karma is nothing but the debt that is accumulated by us over incarnations. So when you keep on discharging your debt to the surrounding world, you are free. You stand free. But if you keep on collecting from every direction, you accumulate karma. So therefore, service as an attitude is the fundamental for getting into pranayama. Once you are into pranayama, as you enter the heart principle, you realize that soham, meaning people, they think of I am in the heart, but the heart doesn't say I am. The heart says that I am. It doesn't let you to settle in the heart. If you get to heart, you get the message, don't be satisfied just with I am. That I am, that is mirror image as I am. So therefore, when you are associated with that song of Soham, slowly you rejoice being inside, and as much as you are inside, you find the way to move upwards. That is the second step relating to pranayama. You move upward. As you move upward, slowly, as I told you already, wisdom starts dawning on you. You don't have to prepare lectures, to deliver lectures. In all these years, seldom I opened a book and explained. It comes by itself. Everything comes by itself. Why? Because you move into your own being up to the throat center. All colors are revealed, all sounds are revealed, all branches of knowledge as are required for you are revealed, and then you move on further. As you move further, as I said the other day, we go up to the brow center. We move up to the grow center. That is the pinnacle of the personality. Over there is a field of the soul. This is the pinnacle. The brow center is the pinnacle of the personality, and that is presided over by the soul with its resplendent light and the related will, knowledge and activity. The pulsating principle still continues, giving you the sound of Soham, Soham, Soham. The next step for this pulsating principle with which your awareness principle is now associated, it tries to step into the higher threshold. It's like you go to the peak of the mountain. When you are at the peak of the mountain, what else can you do? At best you can only come down, isn't it? From the peak, there is over there a vision of a temple into which you have to make the entry, but there is no passage as such. It's over there, you are here, and there is a gap. That is where the relating to this Soham, that I am, our pulsating principle takes to the dimension of a penance. This penance, to enter into that temple of the soul, it's a triple temple. It has the cosmic, solar and planetary sun placed over in Agya. To enter into that, you keep on relating to it. And you keep on performing your personality life as a life of service. At that context, slowly, when time is ripe, and when you have the needed point of tension built, a very luminous fluid secretes from Ajna to the pineal here, pituitary. Secretes from Ajna to the brow center and builds a lighted bridge. With that bridge as a means, you will walk into the center, which we call the center of the soul. When you reach the center of the soul, then the personality and the soul, the two become one. And then the energies of the soul get transmitted to the personality. When this happens, the work relating to man is complete, and from that time onwards he can function for the higher circles upon the lower circles. If you see the teachings of Master Jwalkul, he gives a specific symbol in white magic, a sphere over a triangle. Sometimes in our seminars I supplied those pictures also. A triangle on the top of which there is a sphere, the lighted sphere whose light falls into the personality. That is what we call soul-infused personality. That should happen to all of us, then we are in a position to relate to hierarchy and conduct the work as it comes from the hierarchy. Until then, we can only keep it as our ideal. That's our ideal. We have to reach that ideal. If not in one incarnation, the next incarnation or the next incarnation, whereby your ability to manifest work keeps on growing. Keeps on growing. See, from being a worker of goodwill, you can slowly transform into a world server. When Master Jwalkul, when he says, new group of world servers, meaning what? Each person, insofar as he is able to make these inner journeys, he will transform from being just a local server to a global server. That is the dimension. Until a planetary service is rendered, no man is ever discharged from the planet. Until the planetary service is discharged or fulfilled, no man can ever pay back the debt to the planet. Therefore, you continue to stay at the Ajna and take to the infused personality, conduct acts of service in any of the seven ray activity. Not all souls are meant to be for second ray activity. Some are for first ray. Some are for the third ray. There are people who work out harmony and conflict in the fourth ray. Fifth ray, sixth ray, seventh ray, depending upon your soul quality, you keep on discharging your responsibilities while you still continue to contemplate being at Ajna relating to Sahasrara. That is what is called the final atonement. Final atonement. It has to be practiced. Even when you are in Ajna, you are not absorbed to the point where you feel non-existence. You are not absorbed. You do exist. You have the knowledge and you shine forth and you have all that awareness which enables you to function. But then there is a further effort to move on. In that effort, that I am becomes that. There is no more pulsating principle there. The what you call soham becomes om. That's how it is said. It joins, it stays with it, and that is what is called samadhi. You can be in that samadhi state even during your, sometimes in your meditation, but get back to that I am state and function through the personality. It's a facility. Sometimes you can go to, like what Jesus says, I now rise and go to my Father. When Jesus says, I now rise and go to my Father, it is moving from Ajna to Sahasrara, where there is no more individual existence. There is no more individual existence. Only universal existence remains, and you do not feel your separativity of existence. But as you step down once again into Ajna, you stay firmly connected with the universal consciousness. And your natural identity is that I am. Natural identity is that I am. Normally our natural identity would be being a male or a female or an Indian, an Asian, an European or an American. It's a personality identity. But for the person who has touched upon the Ajna, there is no more validity in him for personal identity. He cares not for personal identity. He cares not if he is male or if he is female. He cares not from in which kind of body he is. That's the kind of state they experience. So being at Ajna, when you relate to Sahasrara, only three sun signs remain. All other sun signs are all absorbed into it. Only three sun signs. Being at Ajna, you are at Aries, and at the top of the head, top of the forehead, you have the point of Aquarius, and above the head, you have Pisces. Pisces, as the presiding deity, Aquarius on one side, Aries on the other side, these are the three ultimate signs that remain before all is dissolved into Pisces. Aries and Aquarius, which are on either side of Pisces, they get absorbed into Pisces, and when that manifests, they manifest in a two-way manner, towards Aries and towards Aquarius. That's how the spiritual astrology tells us that the meditations can lead us to ultimately relate to these spiritual signs, zodiacal signs, namely Pisces as the presiding energy, from out of which there is the emergence of Aquarius on one side and Aries on the other side. This is how we are when we are at Ajna, meditating upon the Sahasrara. So meditation upon Sahasrara, you may be doing it for fancy, but then until you make the steps consciously from the heart to the anahata, from Vishuddhi, our throat center, and from there into the larynx, and from there into bro center, and then to the Ajna, and thereafter the center of Aquarius, and then Pisces. That's how the whole theme is given from the astrological dimension. Since we are all practicing over decades, and most of us have also become grandfathers and grandsons, isn't it? Wolfgang is a grandfather, isn't it? Now we have also Lucy as grandmother. Ute, the lady who contacted Masriki when she was 24 years, she is now a grandmother, isn't it? So just being an young lady, you tend to be a mother and then a grandmother. And in all these years, we are in association with the energy of the master. It's about time that we think of deeper meditations and gain what is to be gained. What is truly to be gained is continuity of consciousness. Continuity of consciousness is for sure when you have reached at least up to the bro center. Then you would know, even when you are born next time, what was your previous life and why you have taken to current life, what for have you taken the current life, and how are you to proceed, and where are you proceeding. All those fundamental questions which I have raised in the beginning of the seminar, they would all get answered the moment you reach Ajna in you. And for that, the only means is outer service, inner contemplation. Just two things. Outer service, inner contemplation. inner contemplations can be done in a rhythmic manner at the rate of 24 minutes each sitting and a minimum of 3 sittings. 24 minutes each sitting and in a day 3 such sittings accounting for 72 minutes. But the optimum is each sitting has to be 72 minutes. 72 minutes. And 3 times 72, that makes 216 minutes. It is number of consequence. 216 minutes of contemplation daily. When you do, provided your karma permits, basically, for all this, the karma has to permit. Karma is like the tiger, it always draws your attention. So to ensure that karma does not bind you, we have to necessarily transform your attitude of work as an attitude of service. Then slowly, in a matter of 10-12 years, the work doesn't bind you. It enables you to meditate. When you do this meditation at the rate of 72 minutes each time for 3 times a day, you will be able to hit the target sooner. Because the science of pranayama says 72 minutes each time is very propitious. But let us start with 72 minutes a day, 3 times a day, meaning 24 minutes a day. 2160 pulsations is a unit. And what we do is 216 minutes of relating to pulsation on a day. If you are doing at the rate of 72 minutes each time you make a sitting, it takes time for you to apply mind upon respiration, stay in the center of the heart, and then go into the deeper side of the heart to meet the subtle pulsation. Then make an upward movement with the help of Udana Prana, reach up to Brow Center, contemplate upon Ajna. That's all the program. To do that you need time. Slowly, you cannot push it up. It finds its own natural upward movement. That's why Master CVV also says, horizontals should meet verticals. Horizontals should meet verticals. The mind which moves into the surrounding world in a horizontal manner, it has to come back and join the heart and make a vertical movement. When the vertical movement takes place, slowly the bridges are built. Until the bridges are built, we continue to have the same state of ignorance. While we may have some bits and pieces of knowledge collected from the books and held by our memory according to its ability to memorize. But the other kind of knowledge which you gain during your upward movement from heart center to brow center, that knowledge remains for all times to come. It's a knowledge which is naturally revealed to you and therefore remains always with you. It is always good that we look more for inner contemplation, even for knowledge, than for looking for outer reading of books. For the ones who carry out inner contemplations, the outer scriptures written by masters of wisdom from time to time affirm your inner experiences. Whatever is experienced inside you, you will find that a master of wisdom has already written it, meaning you are in the right path. So this is how we have to continue, and we need to be stepping up stepping up our meditational activity, transforming the balance of life into a life of service, not as I said, work transformed as service. This dimension may be thought of and worked out so that we deliver ourselves from ourselves in a faster manner. We all want deliverance. From whom should we be delivered? From ourselves only. We have to be delivered from out of our personality and preside over the personality so that we conduct the whole life in a kingly manner, but not serve life as a slave. As a slave. See, there are persons who work day and night. Persons who are working day and night, or they work by night, sleep by the day. It so happened that one youngster met the Prime Minister of India. He's a very young man. He's a software engineer. He happened to be my brother's son. My brother had access to the Prime Minister because he was working for him as a high official. When this young man was introduced to the Prime Minister, "This is my son now working in United States." So then the Prime Minister asked this young man, "What do you do in America?" He said, "I'm a slave." He said, "I'm a slave." And it was, the Prime Minister was aghast. My brother was shocked answering a Prime Minister in that manner is no joke. Then the Prime Minister, being a very bold person, wise person, he asked, "Why do you say that you are a slave?" He says, "Yes, we are all slaves of money. I work for money. So being a slave to a person, I have become a slave to money. Is it not slavery?" he said. So like that we aggrandize ourselves as not slaves, the true state is, as long as you are subservient to the energies of money, energies of so many other things. There are people who say, "I am a slave of the family." Isn't it? Slave of the family, slave of the company, slave of money, slave of body. This is all your understanding. When you don't see your own work as an offering, when the work is an offering, you feel doing it not as an imposition, but as a gift of God to us. Bhagavad Gita says, work is a gift of nature to beings. Work is gift of nature to beings, whatever work it is. And by appropriately relating to work, man can develop the needed alignment. It's a statement that comes from Adi Shankara. Adi Shankara, in one of his teachings, he tells his followers, "Do not grudge about work. Work is nature's gift to you. By relating to work appropriately, you develop the needed alignment. The purpose of work is only to cause the needed alignment in the persons. If you attend to your work as service, your mind, your senses and your body, they are in alignment with you as you conduct the work. In the process, you gain alignment without much difficulty." Today, the science of alignment has become a huge science. Only because we ceased to see the natural, splendorous dimension of work. So once we take to the right dimension of work enables you to align better. Alignment enables you to relate to the soul. Such alignment would bring in the needed light, love and activity into you. That's how the whole thing is. So therefore consider these dimensions and work out, especially those who have been listening to teachings over so many years. Kindly think of more in terms of contemplation than in terms of engaging yourself in objectivity. Thank you one and all. Namaskar. Somehow it is delivered. And kindly remember, Pisces, Aquarius and Aries is the final triangle that is left to us at the ultimate state.